I've worked for six presidents, up to Donald Trump. Every president I've ever worked for took some steps to secure the border because they understood you can't have strong national security if we don't have border security. But President Biden is the first president in the history of this nation that I know of who came in office and unsecured a border on purpose. And even President Obama gave me the Presidential Rank Award, highest award available. Because what was I doing at the time? I was locating and deporting people that are in the country illegally. So we went for the most secure border of my lifetime, and it's not just my opinion. I've done this for 34 years. Anybody can go to cbp.gov and look at the data. We handed this administration the most secure border in my lifetime. And within months, we went from the most secure border to historic illegal immigration, numbers you've never seen before. And it's not because it's seasonal. It's not because of climate change. It's not because of Trump. This is by design.
Well, it is by design. I mean, it's insane. And the story that keeps getting bigger and bigger is infuriating. And that's of the whole claim that there were migrants, illegal immigrants that drowned in the river, and they acted like our Border Patrol. I told you about this yesterday. They acted like our Border Patrol was somehow culpable because they had closed that Shelby Park. And it was Texas military. It was the Texas military that they had said closed Shelby Park. And as a result of that, they said that these migrants drowned. And the way they put it out, and you remember the statement, and it was CBS that first did it. And then everybody else followed CBS. And they had said that it was Texas, the Texas military department, Texas border patrol, Texas, you know, guard, etc., that had stopped the feds from accessing Shelby Park, which goes right along the Rio. And they said that the feds told the Texas side that, well, you know, we got to get in there and save those migrants. And so the guards sent some people down, and they talked to the Mexican authorities, and they're like, okay, there's nothing here, because it happened beforehand. Not only did it happen beforehand, but then the feds had to come back and say, oh, well, there were some people that already drowned. And so as a result, it wasn't. But the story has already gone out there. Not only you had Henry Cuellar use that once again to go after Border Patrol. I don't have anything nice to say. And God put a hand over my mouth today, because nothing, I mean, barely anything that I think about this man and all these other people that jumped in to go at Border Patrol again is FCC compliant. I do have a get out of jail free card, though, from Brendan Carr that may be used today. Because they made it sound like our guys were murderers. I am so damn sick and tired of this. I could throw my monitor across the studio. The way that they impugn the character. And you, by the way, you realize that the members of Border Patrol are predominantly Hispanic. But that doesn't care to these Democrat communists. They don't care because, see, if you don't agree with them, your ethnicity is erased. They have a patent on your ethnicity, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're black, whether you're a woman. That's not your vagina. That's the Democrat Party's vagina. That's not your skin color. That's the Democrat Party's skin color. You cease to exist unless you validate a narrative. And that is the only purpose they see for you. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, top of this first hour. And I've been following the story because it is still blowing up. And there's a reason why they continue blowing it up. First reason they're blowing it up is because they've got that bill that they're fighting over. And they desperately need Republicans in the House, particularly, to get on board with it. Because the one in the Senate, Republicans are getting ready to screw you over in the Senate. They don't have any problem with this, just like they didn't have any problem with Trump's amnesty back in 2018. Oh, get mad, but it's true. They didn't have no problem with it. And here it comes back to the few members that we have in the House that are throwing a wrench in this. Otherwise, you know what would all be happening with us? We'd have 1.8 million people granted amnesty. We'd be issuing more H-1B visas for people that have no skill sets. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry would be coming across the border. I just want to know, where's our percentage from the cartel? Because the administration's got to be getting a kickback from having to be this bad. We'd have all that if it wasn't for these few members in the House. We'd have it. If it wasn't for the Chip Roys, We would have it. You can take that to the bank. And so this is the latest with this. Story after story. It's only a matter of time before they start naming those agents that they said, turn the feds away. You know it. They're going to go after them, ruin their lives. They're just itching to do it. It was an 8-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. They said it was at Eagle Pass. And remember how crazy the story was? They said they were physically barred. I'm not saying that. That's what CBS said. They acted like that the Texas officials physically restrained the feds, the heroic feds. Border Patrol agents were denied. They were told that people were crossing illegally and they were in distress, suffering from hypothermia. Mexican authorities recovered the bodies of a woman and 2 children Saturday across the border from Eagle Pass. I mean, it's sad. It's sad that the administration encourages this. And Henry Cuellar went out there and he said, these National Guard members blocked these border agents. He accused, by his statement, Henry Cuellar has accused the National Guard of killing these illegal immigrants crossing the border. He's calling them child killers. Henry Cuellar is calling Border Patrol agents baby killers. But, when the facts came out, it didn't really go towards his narrative. Because, see, a Supreme Court filing by DOJ made it clear that the 2 kids had perished long before Border Patrol ever arrived, before they were even told. U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar wrote in a document that Mexico told Border Patrol, they didn't even tell, Mexico told our side at 9 p.m. that 3 illegal entrants had already drowned. And they said 2 others had been distressed, but they, the Mexican authorities, had already helped them because they were on the Mexican side. So they helped the 2 who were in distress. So when Border Patrol went and approached National Guard perimeter, they were told by the Texas Guard, look, we can't let you through. Quote, not even in emergency situations. But then they did send their own people to investigate. And that's what happened. That is what happened. And what Cuellar and others kept saying is that, well, they killed them. I mean, they physically blocked them. The Texas Military Department didn't deny that it blocked them, but they said, look, we were told just as you are, this already happened long ago. They were just apprising us of the situation, which at least there's some kind of conversation happening between the Mexican authorities and Texas officials. Guardsmen were even searching the area just to make sure that they had found everyone and that no one needed help. Of course, the CBS piece didn't tell you that, did it? Did Henry Cuellar tell you that? Did any of these schmucks going out there standing on the dead bodies of the illegal immigrants they encouraged to cross, did any of them tell you that? No. And the guardsmen reported back to Border Patrol and they said, there's nothing here. And we already spoke to Mexican authorities too. They require no additional assistance. And they noted that we didn't turn anybody away at all. I don't know what you're accusing us of. And they were not made aware at any point that this was in the process of happening. And then it came out. It finally became clear because Henry Cuellar literally accused Texas guardsmen of being responsible for the death. He said that they, quote, bear responsibility. And they blamed the governor. They said, the way you're handling this, you're killing people. Now, again, the people who were entering illegally didn't even make it away from the Mexican side of things. There's no, and apparently no one was told. Mexican authorities only apprised after. They said, oh, the governor's policies are cruel and dangerous and inhumane. And they go on and on and on and on. But do you know what the report said? When a DOJ report, the feds had to eat their words and say, well, there's actually nothing that the Texas Guard would have done that would have changed the outcome at all. That was the official final word. Did you see that in the CBS story? Those rat bastards. Did you see that in the CBS story? Did Henry Cuellar, while he was climbing on the tops of those dead bodies that he helped make with his policies, do you think that while he was climbing over them, do you think that he stopped to take heed and maybe kind of process that official word that came out? No, because they're too busy grandstanding, which I find disgusting. It's the party of dead kids. Oh, I have nothing nice to say about these people. None. This is, it's heinous. Absolutely heinous. This reminds me, again, it's like going after Border Patrol 2.0 when they were saying, oh, those reins are whips. And now they're going after the folks at the border again. Now, remember the reason why they blocked that park? Because you had the feds down there helping the cartels get these people across. No joke. Our federal government had ordered the Federal Border Patrol to literally assist the cartels in helping these people cross the Rio illegally. No legitimate documentation, nothing. And when something bad happens, then they blame it on the Texas Guard. Absolutely disgusting. So it's just horrific. I'm just done with it. I'm done with it because when you talk to anybody who lives down there, they're apoplectic over this. They were so excited that finally take control of this crossing point. It is so horrible. You've got known gang members crossing this border. Fentanyl coming across this border. Hell, they don't even know who's coming across this border. 209,000 in December alone. 290,000, thank you, in December alone. So expect this to be a big speech coming from Biden. They're putting all the pieces of the puzzle in place to do another hit on this. Because the media keeps ramping up this story. That's why they went after Abbott so hard after he was on our program. Oh, he says he's got to stop short of just like shooting people at the border. Are you kidding me? I think this is the biggest story in the country right now. What are we doing? We're jacking around with a popularity contest in New Hampshire, which we're going to talk about here coming up. Because I had a thread last night. I got a piece coming out. We're also going to get, Lorraine's got a piece coming out later today about all the lawfare stuff. We'll get into it. Because you're going to have to know that. Because that's going to be a feature of this primary, of this election. So we're going to touch on all of that. That's some of the stuff that we've got coming up for you today. We also have some moves on foreign policy just to keep you apprised whenever the Nikki Haley segment. By the way, I got some hate mail about the Nikki Haley, I guess from Nikki Haley fans. We'll have some words on that later on. So that contingent, they want a war with Iran. So, you know, we got to keep you abreast of all of this stuff. This is like one of the last places where you can actually go and get a good education. Hillsdale's focused on academics. They're not focused on identity politics. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They've been hallmarks of Hillsdale since they were founded in 1844. And they're producing 60-second, they're basically like little educational spots called Constitution Minutes, right? It's like Schoolhouse Rock, but from Hillsdale. And it's short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. And you can access these at Dana4FORHillsdale.com, where you can also get a copy of the free pocket constitution there as well. And their mission is to educate everybody. That's, again, no identity politics. It's all about merit and character. But you should hear, go hear the Constitution Minute. That's what it's called. Visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And while you're there, reserve a free pocket constitution courtesy of Hillsdale College. That's Dana4FORHillsdaleCollege.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Just in time for election season. We have what? The Chinese got a new virus, and then they successfully cloned a rhesus monkey for the first time. And they experts say that this, using the same technique to replicate humans is unjustifiable. I swear to you, they did this with Biden. Everything makes sense now. Extraordinary video. I have a million UFO headlines. I'm trying to save it just like one for a segment. Extraordinary video shows a mysterious black glass UFO floating near a California airfield used by a military contractor and Reaper drone maker, General Atomic. It was in broad daylight before vanishing. Sorry, guys, that was me. I was just taking out my new slick spacecraft, you know, just since all. Shell. Now, this is why you need to pay attention to what's going on with Iran and the Houthis and all of that. They're suspending Red Sea shipments amid fears of more Houthi attacks. They said the CEO told the Wall Street Journal that they're going to have to see whether or not this becomes a longstanding issue, but they've suspended all shipments through the U.S., through the Red Sea, after the U.S. and U.K. The Houthis have been hitting tons of merchant ships. U.S. and U.K. struck back. Now they're worried about further escalation. And they said that the way that they write this, the West targeting of the Iranian ally militia. Well, yeah, that was after the Houthis sent dozens of missiles and drones at commercial vessels. And they also said that the attacks were in response to the Israeli offensive. Shut up. 12% of total global seaborne oil trade goes through the Red Sea. So right now it's Shell. They said a tanker chartered by them to move Indian jet fuel was targeted and harassed by Houthi boats. So, yeah. So we'll keep an eye on this, because you know that's not going to be the last one either. News coverage triggers fights in divided couples. Today in Duh. It's actually a study that somebody, you know what else does? Loading the dishwasher. Some people do it like a psycho. Some people are normal and they're like, okay, well, this still gets clean. You know, and those are the people that keep the world go round. Mm-hmm. Stick with us. You know, when you search for something on Netflix, what you get is only a fraction of what Netflix actually has. Netflix actually has more than something like 18,000 titles globally, but only 6,000 of those are available in the United States. So you're missing out on literally thousands of movies or television shows, anything episodic, unless you use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have over 100 different locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new programs no matter where you live. Now, this works with a lot of other streaming services too, like Max, BBC iPlayer, Hulu, things like that. So this is something that you should definitely consider. I mean, think about, what would you like to watch that maybe you can't access? I mean, there's some British shows that I would like to watch. There's, you know, some anime, there's some movies, all kinds of stuff. And also, I want to kind of hide where I am too, just because I'm always internally suspicious. So this is what ExpressVPN can come in clutch for. Also, it's super fast. I can stream everything in HD with no buffering. Works on any device. I can enjoy whatever I'm watching from my phone, laptop, tablet, TV, you name it. It just works. And ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security to keep you safe from hackers that want to take your info and sell it on the dark web. So stop missing out on great programming and get thousands of new shows with ExpressVPN. And we got them to give you guys an extra 3 months free when you use our special link, expressvpn.com/Dana. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana to get 3 extra months completely free.
After taking a longer holiday break than you, Congress had to go back to work. And what did they do? Pass yet another stopgap spending bill to kick the can down the road until March. You keep paying taxes, they continue to not fund the border. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
A really point here that is important. Since August of 2022, we literally, Democrats have literally not lost an election. All right, understand that. Tonight, there's a special House race in Florida. I think it's like House District 35. It's a state House race. It's a swing district.
Only you and Steve knew that number, but go ahead.
Then you have New York 3, DeSantos District, is coming up in February. That's a swing district. Now, I think we're going to win both of them.
This is a, well, he's not wrong. And I hate what he's saying with the burning passion of a thousand suns. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Always good to be with you. And of course, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program There's a lot that we can get into, but I make sure you can watch the simulcast too, channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube and Facebook. Now, keep in mind, I want you to have this perspective. Before I dive into this, I want to set the table, and I always want you all to know where I'm coming from, because people get so damn tribal, and I want to win. Like I said, I will run your grandma over to win in 2024. I am not going to apologize for that. I get super Machiavellian about this. I want to win in 2024. This is the last exit off the highway. I cannot overstate it enough. It is so important. And of course, this is the time that the Republican Party decides that they're going to do things as stupid as possible. And I told you about some of that yesterday. So before I dive into what Carville just said here, keep that up. As I said, and I talked about this last night, I'm voting for the nominee in November. But do not for one second pretend, please, let's all be really real about this, that half of 20% is some monumental thing. We don't have President Buttigieg. We don't have all these people who are like, oh, the primary's over. Get out. Are you guys high? God love you, but are you high? I literally said that to a friend of mine last night. I said, sweet girl, are you high? It's my direct words. Because you had 115,000. It was a lower turnout. You had 187,000 in 2016. You had a lot lower turnout. I mean, you're talking about a small, and, you know, God love Iowans, but it's a small group of people. That's not, that one contest alone does not dictate. And iron sharpens iron. And there's, and just because you ran once and then 4 years, there's a lot of stuff that happened from 16 to 20, y'all. And despite town halls and that, apparently none of these questions have really been asked. It's insane to me. But you got to remember this. It is one half of 20%. And he only, and Trump got only half the delegates in Iowa. There's 40 delegates. He only got 20 delegates. That's only half the delegates. He did underperform in Iowa, regardless of what you think. If you want your guy to win, remedy that. I'm telling you just straight fact. I would love to say, oh, the guy I like got the most delegates. That's not how this works. Now, the reason I bring this up, because I'm going to come back to this Carville thing. Like I said, don't pretend that half of 20% is some huge monumental thing. It's not. And it's also weird for me that immigration is the top issue, despite the fact that the front runner promoted amnesty for 1.8 million illegal immigrants in 2018. Or that Haley isn't an establishment-backed neocon. That's true, too. But what has the GOP delivered on besides losing like it's their jobs since 2016? What have they delivered on? Oh, remember when we got health care? Oh, we didn't get that overturned. You guys remember when our tax cuts were made permanent? Oh, no, that's not what happened either. See, one of the problems of doing things by executive order is that they can be undone by executive order. For me, this is less about the candidates right now, and it's actually more about the absentee leadership of the absolutely spineless GOP, the Republican Party. Because if they manage to, you know, screw up the easiest win ever against one of the worst presidents in history this November, they don't deserve another second of your consideration, and they sure as hell won't mine. Not at all. I mean, they've done nothing to target split ticket voting. They've done nothing to target mail-in ballots. State parties are broke. Minnesota, Massachusetts, Arizona, Colorado. I could go on and on and on. Swing states, guys. We're talking about battleground states. We have three battleground states where the Republican State Party is broke. And more people, I see these numbers on Fox News, on CNN everywhere, more people are leaving the Democrat Party. They're not becoming Republicans. They're staying independent. No one stopped to go, well, why aren't they becoming Republicans? No one's doing that because everybody's a coward. They're not registering as Republicans. The Republican Party has zero plan for this. Instead, they're getting ready in the Senate to screw you all over, all of us, on immigration again during an election year while the rudderless RNC sits on its fat backside filing their nails and doing nothing. And they wonder why they're broke. They wonder why coffers are dry. Now, that being said, Carville brought up two important races. You didn't pay attention to them because you're a normal person who works and has the life. I don't expect if everybody I talked to knew about all this stuff, I'd be like, you're a robot. Because you work a job and you're raising your you work a job that's not politics and you're raising your family. And you know, you're a robot or an alien, Kane. They're those people. They're those 10-foot aliens on that cliff in Brazil. We figured out who y'all are now. Mm-hmm. We know. No, there was a race. It was a special election in Florida. It's going down. It flipped. House District 35 from red to blue in a critical special election. Tom Keene flipped a red seat blue, Orlando. He bested Republican Erica Booth. There are two special elections that were swing and they were red and they became blue. Now, you might say, Dana, these are because they're House seats. You might say, Dana, this is just two special elections. You could say that maybe it's just, you know, two elections. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. But this follows the Wisconsin Supreme Court stuff. They had an election in Wisconsin, then Virginia. And remember how Virginia went. Their Commonwealth. So to me, that's four elections in a row that Republicans lost. Four elections where the issues were easy and selling liberty wasn't a tough sell. And they lost them. I'm seeing warning signs in addition to the national surveys. No one else is paying attention to it. I feel like in news, no one's paying attention to it. This is it's a terrifying thing. We talked about the Virginia loss. About how that, yes, some of that was gerrymandering, the redistricting and that, I get it. But don't forget, back in May in Wisconsin, the GOP lost Wisconsin by a landslide. I mean, you had these elections. I mean, it was horrific. That was when they were running on abortion. They had their court election. GOP had their backside handed to them. Now, in Virginia, I was hoping that there would be a little bit of overperforming by Republicans. Remember that election, but there wasn't. Now, that being said, these aren't just two. Where I think that Carville doesn't go far enough is these aren't just two special elections for House and Republicans are losing. Republicans lost the HD one, Orlando one, a New York one, too. They're losing. And Carville every now and then is accidentally honest and accidentally gives something up to Republicans. And this is one of those times. He's right here. He is absolutely correct. And so this is a real concern. That's why another reason, and this has nothing to do with Trump, guys. I need everyone to stop again. I will run your grandmother over to win in 2024. I don't care. Iowa was not a landslide. The people who are telling you this, I fear, don't care about the apathy that's going to set in. We lost the Senate because of the special election in Georgia. Republican turnout was so underperforming. It was one of the lowest ever. It was a record. Low. The idea that Iowa was a landslide, it was not. You have an incumbent who should be, any front runner that is not a Democrat should be the most popular front runner in the history of front running. You had low turnout. Iowans are used to snow. Only half of the delegates and literally only half of 20%. That's not a landslide. That's a sample. I don't want people to get their hopes up. You need to have your expectations managed. That's also part of this. And it is irresponsible for a lot of these people out here to run your hopes up because they want your clicks when you're mad if you're let down. Now, this isn't, I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to get you down on your preferred guy or trying to set up another. I'm telling you this because whether it's plan A or plan B, these things are going to impact regardless who it is. And if you're like me and you want to win, you want this remedied. So that's a problem. Now, remember when I was telling you yesterday, and we're going to get into some of this other stuff, the third pathway that doesn't include Trump or DeSantis? Remember me telling you that yesterday? Because you got Trump back in court today. The legal problems are just going to continue to envelop him. If you have DeSantis fizzle out, you just had all of the Texas establishment that got behind Nikki Haley. I don't know if y'all know this. Texas Scorecard has the story. They all got behind Nikki Haley. And I see some shenanigans that are happening with another Texas House race that I'm watching very closely, too. But this story shouldn't be surprising. The entire Bush machine is lining up behind Nikki Haley. There's certain people in Texas, and you know if they're, because in Texas you had the Perry camp and you had the Bush camp, and they did not like each other. And the Bush camp has lost some of its shine. Because remember, you had the Jeb Bush's son, who was going to run for Texas land commissioner. He wanted to run for governor. You got to be Texas land commissioner in order to get governor. He wanted to run for higher office. He ended up being thwarted. They lost a little bit of their pool. But nevertheless, they've got everybody. The Roves are behind them. I think his wife is like hosting a fundraiser. She's going to be in Houston and Dallas coming up. And I was looking at the names on this because involved locally. So I know these names. These are the Dade Phelan establishment people. Every one of these names. I see lawyers for this Bush group. I see Rove Associates here. Oh, I see all of it. These are all big time establishment donors. And they like Nikki Haley. And they are getting behind her. She's going to be getting some good money from Texas. Now, I told you the third way of this is that she could outlast both of them. This is both a delegate race and a survival race. It doesn't matter, oh, win big or whatever. No, no, no. It's a survival and a delegate race. And if you want to win, you need to understand how this game's played. You may not like it, but this is the way it is right now, and you got to win it. She could outlast both of them. The establishment has deep pockets. And the whole Bush wing is lined up behind her. So I thought that was very interesting. These fundraisers were announced this morning. I had everybody in Texas sending me these emails. Like, did you see this? Did you see it? I'm not on the email list because I don't get the establishment stuff. But I had people sending them to me who were one-time Nikki Haley supporters and who are not now. So you all need to be keeping an eye on this because there is a weird energy with her. There is kind of an Operation Chaos Part 2 happening. She's eager to pull from Democrats like she did in Iowa, same-day registration. We're seeing it happen in New Hampshire. That is a real thing. They are strategizing to outmaneuver both DeSantis and Trump. And the RNC, where's the leadership there? I think they like it. We got a lot more on the way that you don't want to miss. As we get moving, we're all going to need this. Just stock up on Wise Foods because who knows what's going to happen after November. Honestly, you know what? I'm just going to sit fat and sassy in my shelter and eat all my Wise Foods. They got macaroni and they got teriyaki, everything and all kinds of stuff. 72-hour food kit right now. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food. You get all kinds of entrees, breakfast, drinks, 11,120 total calories per kit. Everything made with the highest quality U.S. ingredients and freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. They also have their heirloom seed vault it contains 39 variety of seeds. And the seeds are non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit has more than 4,500 seeds, 10-year shelf life. Order yours today. Be prepared at wisefoodstorage.com. So what you do is when you go there, type Dana in the search bar up above, and you'll access these exclusive deals like the buy one, get one on the 72-hour food kit. Wisefoodstorage.com. Put Dana in the search bar.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So we've delivered, but the responsibility
we're getting across.
Well, that's why I'm out here. We have a responsibility to communicate. We've done really good work. Our challenge will be to let people know who brought it to them.
That grammar, though. Who brung it to him? I mean, girl, you ain't my grandma. What are you doing? Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. That was Kamala Harris, who was on The View. Whatever. I want to just call up the dumb name. I don't watch that show.
Well, yeah, that was yesterday.
Someone's like, did you watch? No. This was her. Didn't she go on The View and say the same thing?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. This was her. That's why I got confused. I'm like, wait a minute. That's literally what she said. That's like her new thing.
Word for word.
Brung. Guys, go ahead.
We have to earn the reelect, and we have to communicate what we have achieved.
Yes.
And that is going to be one of our big challenges. We've done a lot of good work. We need to let people know who brung it to them.
Say something nice, Dana. Well, she's got the Rachel haircut, Jennifer Aniston's old friend's haircut. I know that's like popular right now, back in, so I guess that looks nice on her.
We fully know who brung it to us.
Yeah, we know who brung it.
We're feeling it enough. We know.
Yeah, it was brought-ed. It was brunged. We know. Yeah, we love paying $7 for butter. It's awesome. It's so great. Yeah, it's like, I hope you enjoy your cookies, kids, because it's your college education. Hope you enjoy your cookies. It's our retirement. You know, it's, yay. Golly, it's crazy. I'm trying to, like, let me just decode her thing. What does it even mean? We've done a lot of good work and we need to we know the high gas prices, the everything. Yeah, we know. We're reminded daily. We did it, Joe. Goodness.
I literally don't know any good work that they've done. I mean, objectively.
I legit cannot say one good thing that they've done.
Right. Please tweet us.
I mean, they messed up the Houthi thing because they delisted them as a terror group. And now they're like, well, I guess they're terrorists again. I mean, they really never stopped being terrorists. You guys were just morons. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. And also all the latest with the primary. We got New Hampshire's next week. I know it's going to be fast after this. New Hampshire is next week. And all of the latest with the Houthis. Because, yeah, that's right. The administration, they were terrorists and now they're not. And then they are again. Stay with us. We have a lot more on the way as we get moving. Our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And they want to make sure that you have coverage. They offer nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're going to get the best service. You're also not going to fund the things you vote against. And when you switch, you're, like I said, you're going to save money and you're also going to support 100% U.S.-based jobs because that's who all of their customer service team is. Right now, you can get free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana. Get free activation. Make the switch today. It's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Donald Trump needs to be the nominee of this party. And I think Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley would actually at this point do this country and this party a service by stepping aside to make sure that we're focused on not only nominating Donald Trump, but getting this country back and reviving those founding revolutionary ideals.
Maybe Trump will let him iron his underwear, you know, like in the new. I mean, I don't dislike him personally, but if you think I'm not going to totally make fun of him, man, how they had their fight. He's not MAGA. Now he's MAGA. Come on. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour. Good to be with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Channel 347 DirecTV is the video component of the radio program. Yeah, well, by that logic, we should have just told Trump to drop out in 2016. He didn't win the Iowa caucus. Should have just told him to drop out. You know, go ahead. It's all right. Biden should have just dropped out because Booty Juice won. He won that Democrat caucus. I mean, people realize this is just the beginning. You had 20% of the registered Republicans on Iowa that voted. Trump only got half the delegates. Now, I was talking last hour before you get mad at me. I explained how you're being set up a little bit because there's a lot of trouble on the horizon for the Republican Party and an incumbent who is the front runner in a primary during a time when we have one of the worst presidents in American history should not be it was underperforming And it should not be that. It you shouldn't only just get half of the delegates from, you know, half of 20% of the registered Republicans that turned out in Iowa. And sorry, but that's not enough to determine the entire future of America. It's not. So that's why we have the system, and that's why it goes on. That's not how any of this works. And no one has a right to tell somebody else to get out. And no one should be expected to do that. That's just nonsense. And it's weird when I see serious people say unserious things like that. Stop it. This isn't a monarchy, for the love. That's not how this goes. Imagine being like, oh, well, Trump didn't win the Iowa caucus in 2016. Get out. I mean, it's the same logic. It's stupid. So that being said, we got New Hampshire happening next week. Now, this is a delegate race, and it's really who can survive the longest. It really is. It's like dodgeball. Whoever can dodge it, whoever lasts the longest, that's the person who wins. Because you can last long and then force a vote on the convention floor. Although I kind of wonder if that would go in Haley's favor with the establishment powers that be, I got to say. But that's the reality of this. That's the reality of this. And as I said before, I think people, like I said, you got to be a little careful with it. It's that 20%. I think that people are being set up to be kind of apathetic going into November with this stuff. Trump had more support in Iowa in 2020 than he did this last caucus. And he won the Iowa caucuses. He had 97% of the vote. The enthusiasm for him measured in 2020 was way higher than it was this last time. Now, it could be because people are tired of the damn primary already. It started so early when really it should only just be getting going now. All of this, by the way, because Iowa is not the national electorate. And no, a win in Iowa is not a bellwether for the rest of the country, not even by a stretch. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this, as I said, I will literally steamroll your grandmother over to win in 2024. I want to win. But at the same time, y'all got to be realistic and not tell yourself one thing while problems get worse. If you want to win, you need to take care of some of this business like pronto. And I think really some of this plays into Haley's hands. And I just got done telling you that Nikki Haley just had the entirety of the Texas Republican establishment back her. She's got the Bush machine back in her. Rove's holding a fundraiser for her. She's going to be swinging through Houston, Dallas, all of that stuff. And that's the third strategy. She could outlast both of them. That's a very real possibility because she's competitive with Trump in New Hampshire. That's a very real possibility. And so she's going into head-to-head matchups against Biden. Haley actually outperforms Trump. Wall Street Journal had her plus 17. I'm telling you this. I had a couple of people who I think were big fans of hers who were like, oh, you get this step in there. Look, she's one that I don't like, and I'm not going to lie about it. It's Bush 2.0. It's Bush in a dress. It really is. We're going, everything that we have fought for since the days of the Tea Party is erased. If she's in the White House, it's done. And she's getting a lot of Democrats to vote for her. And it's not just her getting Democrats to vote for her. Trump has the ability to motivate people to get Democrats to go for her. So I get that people are trying to reaffirm different loyalties to candidates, and that's fine. It should be about reaffirming loyalty to advancing the interests of limited government and curtailing some of these overreaches by the state. But that doesn't seem to be the election that we're having. If you're trying to restore limited government values federally and statewide, that's not happening with the way that this is all going. It's not. I mean, it really isn't. And we're going to see a lot of down ballot pain, a lot of down ticket pain. I'm just telling you the way it is. There's a lot of stuff on the line here, a lot of stuff on the line. We're talking about and the RNC is so, I'm so livid at them. I'm definitely not going to get an invite to anything for them. Not that I planned on it, but they, after, what, 6 weeks before Iowa, they just washed their hands of it. And they're like, okay, we're not going to do any more debates. That's what the RNC did. They decided 6 weeks before Iowa that they weren't going to have any more debates or do anything like that. They're not going to impose any rules on the candidates saying, if you expect to do this, then you need to participate. They're not doing any of that. Well, they're terrified because the head of the RNC was handpicked by the front runner. She wouldn't be there if it wasn't for him. So they're on eggshells. I mean, and then you've got the state parties that are falling apart in Arizona. Oh my gosh, this is horrific what's going on there. They're just handing it over to Democrats. They're broke. The state party's broke. I want to point out something too. I'm not telling you this to rag on somebody, but this was a really good point that was made. And I, you know, I touched on this remark that James Carville had made, and he noted this race that was in Florida, this Erica Booth, who ended up getting kicked out for a Democrat. There's another one in New York that's happening like that. This is after the Wisconsin court elections that Republicans totally lost. This is after Virginia that Republicans completely fumbled. Erica Booth ranted against everybody else who was not the front runner. And in a kind of nasty about it, too. I'm telling you all, there is a sentiment against that. It was measurable as far back as 2018. It's not popular to talk about it. It costs people audience. It hurts people digitally. This is why nobody else talks about it, and they all try to flatter all sides. And with the Erica Booth situation, that wasn't a rejection of DeSantis. I think it was a further measure, a rejection of that type of politics that we see in some of these other races. I'm warning you. People are going to make the decisions that they make. But I hope that people are not shocked when it comes to the conclusion that it is on track to reach. Now, it's either about the country or it's about avenging somebody. And that's the choice that some people are going to make. And they're going to make the choice. I'm not going to tell you what to do. They're going to make the choices that they're going to make. But I'm looking at New Hampshire. I'm looking at South Carolina. And don't forget. Now, let me throw this out to you. So say this Operation Chaos Part 2 stuff, the Nikki Haley getting these Democrats, the whole establishment behind her. Although I will say, get mad at me. Some of the establishment likes Trump, too. You got Lindsey Graham. You got these other cats in there. RNC head. Come on. But say she outlasts DeSantis and Trump's all embroiled in the legal stuff and he ends up, you know, all this. And all this stuff, and you have her, who she becomes the nominee. Now, she is outperforming Biden. DeSantis and Haley both outperform Biden. Trump is competitive with him. But say she ends up being the nominee, you know what they're going to do, right? You know they changed their bylaws last year to switch out their candidate. And they will. And then it's done. Because when you have the option between Democrat light and an actual Democrat, people will go for the actual Democrat. Gavin Newsom does a better job of being that than Nikki Haley. That's just the truth of it. None of this stuff is... None of this stuff is comfortable to talk about. And people get mad because everybody gets so tribal. But I am warning you, this has nothing to do with candidates right now. This is the strategy that's happening. And we need to really pay attention to this, because this is the way it's going. Now, in the meantime, you've got, I mean, Shell just announced they're suspending their shipments through the Red Sea because of the Houthis. And you know others are going to follow suit. The Houthis are trying to act like that whole channel is the crossing right there is all theirs. Going out of the Red Sea, going into the Gulf of Aden, going into all that, they're trying to act like that's all theirs. And this is more escalation with Iran because they're Iranian backed. And so now the Houthis, the administration took them off the list of designated terrorist groups for some reason. And now they're putting them back on the list. Why did they take them off? Now, they're supposed to have a press conference about it later today. But I think a lot of that's going to be on Lloyd Austin, which we're going to talk about, because apparently they were working to hide this from the get-go, according to a 911 call that was released. So that has to come up today. Like, what changed? I think it just shows you the erratic nature of this administration, the mess of foreign policy. It's a mess. But we're going to dive into all of that stuff. So these are tough times. We're going to navigate them together. I'm going to give you the facts. I may not like them all the time. And they may not serve my personal preference, but my overall personal preference is to win in 2024. So that's what I want to do. Just know that's my perspective. If you want the best tasting coffee brewed by Vets, a veteran-owned company, then this is the coffee for you. I mean, you want coffee that's strong and bold, and you want to wake up with a kick in the neck in the morning, right? It's just the way it is. Black Rifle Coffee's got the perfect brew for you. If you're tired of bland, mediocre coffee, this is the best way to get it is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. High quality coffee roasted right here in America, delivered right to your door with no shipping fees. Anytime you want. I mean, you're never going to run out of coffee. Like I said, veteran owned, they employ active duty and retired veterans. They roast all of their coffee here. They don't white label it after importing it in from a different country and then claim that they do it here. They actually do it here. And they support law enforcement and a lot of veterans charities as well. So the coffee club, this is what we do. So you pick your coffee, the brew you want. You choose how often you want it delivered. You get it shipped to your door for free. And then you never run out of coffee. You're in coffee heaven. It's amazing. And everything that you need for that perfect brew, they also have grinders, mugs, kettles, everything. And when you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today and get 30% off of your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was sitting here running my mouth when we're on break, and I'm like, classic Dana, just wonderful. All right, so this Texans, you know what? This is not going to happen. I will. I'm going to put a hand over my mouth. Texans were asked not to use their washing machines as the weather tests the grid. I'm going to use my washing machine, and you can literally try and test the rules of Castle Doctrine to come and stop me.
But nobody in Texas said that. That was the thing. I didn't hear it. I didn't see it.
No one told me not to use it.
Right.
Literally nobody. It's ERCOT. 90s. They said, guys, the grid. You know why? Because they're like, we're going to rely on the wind, except this is the less windy time of the year. The ERCOT people. They're like, can you conserve energy ahead of time? Shut up. No, shut up. This is 2024. You're wanting to take us back to the dark ages. Let's use the crappier light bulbs and let's take the phosphates out of your dishwashing machines. Like, what's next? You're like, yeah, and as Kane says, your dryer takes more electricity to run than your washing machine. I feel like I want to run all my appliances now. Yeah, come test that Castle Doctrine theory. Come on, try me. Come and take it. No. I'm coming back to this because I'm so mad. Let's see. The zoo, Texas Zoo welcomes its first lion since 2015. Better conserve energy. Turn the lights off on the baby lion. There's a baby lion. That's great. Yay. By the way, do you know we still have that owl? I don't have the heart to evict it. It's too cold. It hasn't really torn it up. There's not really a mess up there. It's been like very, I need to come back to this, the owl. Because we got headlines. But yeah, more than half of the United States' 25,000 cities are predicted to become ghost towns by 2100. That sounds amazing. I want to go there. I actually now want to go to the city because no one's there. I love being not by other people. So great. It's just, I mean, I like you guys, but it's everybody else we don't like. And it's all Dem-run cities, too, as Kane notes. They're all Democrat-run cities. I wonder why. Gee, did you see, by the way, have you guys seen pictures taken by tourists of San Francisco lately? Talk about a ghost town. All the storefronts are closed and boarded up. I know. Watch that poop map. Drinking Diet Coke is better than sugary fruit juice for kids' weight lines, according to a large review of dozens of studies. Well, I don't like fruit juice at all, unless it's in Prosecco. So I'm totally fine with that. I like Diet Coke. I don't care if it can like dissolve batteries. I like it. The Navy is going to, I do, and I love GMOs and preservatives. I love it. The Navy's going to name a new destroyer after, this is amazing, after a World War II hero, the Human Tugboat. This guy is such a hero. Charles Jackson French, he wrapped a rope around his waist and saved 15 shipmates, towing them to shore. It's amazing story. So well-deserved. Stick with us. As we get moving, our partners, they make free radio possible for you. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PMR-30. The PMR-30, this is such a great gun. And Kel-Tec is a great company, Florida-based. The PMR-30, I have several that I really, really like, but the PMR-30 is like one of my favorites. It's great for personal home defense, but I mean, I really like it recreationally. It's lightweight, accurate, 30 rounds, standard capacity, 22 Magnum. It's perfect for hiking, backpacking, really all day range plinking. I mean, I think it's really good for that. And standard capacity, again, 30 rounds, high vis fiber optic front and rear sights. You got really great target acquisition. I like to use this to get people comfortable with shooting handguns. Integrated accessory, rail, you can mount a light. I mean, it's just awesome. And if you want the carbine, the CMR-30 is the carbine version. That's the big brother of the PMR-30, except the same mag, had that ballistic advantage. Learn more about the PMR-30. This is one of my favorites. I mean, there's literally no recoil with it. I think I have, you know, more resistance when I cut into cold butter. Learn more about it at PMR-30 at KeltecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media as well. That's K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the carbon footprint of these events every single year that you come here? You think it's worth it? Peasants pay for your crimes?
That's a stupid question.
Is it really? Is it more stupid than you traveling here to tell us? Please, sorry?
We're done. We are done now.
You can't grab me. You can't grab us. This is a free society, mate. We have freedom of the press. Why do you think you're more important? Your carbon footprint doesn't matter, but everybody else around the world.
Suggested that. Nobody ever suggested that. Don't make up stupid questions.
That's literally what your whole philosophy is, though. John Kerry was so mad there. I love that dude. He was asking him questions. I don't know who he is. It's amazing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour. This reporter was questioning him on, wasn't that a Davos thing?
Avi Yemeni?
Yeah.
If you've heard of him or not, I've seen him a lot, actually, over the past couple of years.
Dude, I love how he was just like, balls to the wall, asking these questions. Like, hey, mate, you know, free society. Oh, look, I almost did the Australian accent. I struggle with that so badly. Sorry to our Australian friends. They're probably like, don't do it. Don't do it, mate. Look, I did it again. Anyway, so I loved the questioning, though. What's the carbon footprint? Because it's true. He flies there on his private jet. And remember what he said previously? Because he was asked and he tried to give a serious answer. I think he thought it was serious. And he was saying, well, it was because it was him and he has to go all over the place. And oh, and then he pays the carbon credits, which Kane and I still just are beside ourselves that we did not come up. You want to talk about a grift? That's one of the king grifts of all grifts. It's an indulgence. It's a tax on stupidity. Carbon credits are a tax on stupidity. It is an indulgence that the stupid and wealthy pay so that they can pretend that they are green. Oh, sure. We're going to plant some trees down there. Yeah, it's going to happen. Do they ever have to like provide proof? Isn't that what the carbon credit? What the hell do they do with the carbon credits? Yeah, but for real, think about this for a minute, because that's what he said. He's like, well, you know, when I pay carbon credits like that, you know, see, you can do it if you've got the money to pay it. It is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's a trading mechanism that allows entities to compensate for their greenhouse gas emissions by supporting products that... What, do you get your name written on one of the stabby things on a windmill? One of the wind turbines? Is that what it is? Is there a stabby, one of the stabby pokey things on the giant turbine that says John Kerry on it? Is that what it is? Oh my gosh, I love it so much. This is John Kerry's tree. He planted this so he could fly all over the world and lecture people about flying all over the world. That's what it is. It's the dumbest thing ever. Why are we not in this business? If we came up with a carbon credit business, what would you call it? Indulgences Inc.? Like, I don't know. It sounds like a bakery.
From ghost to green? I don't know. It's...
Pay Up Sucka Inc.? I don't know. I'm going to think about this, because that's a real solid business. Yeah, well, we're going to offset your carbon. Yeah.
That's it.
That's what we're doing. And we're going to go plant these trees, see? They wouldn't know. You could send them a picture and they wouldn't know. Oh, look, here I am in the backyard planting a tree, but I'm actually in the Amazonian rainforest. And you just get you some tropical plants and throw them around and, you know,
but
same thing.
If they really cared about trees, if they really cared about plants and stuff, they wouldn't try for a net zero as it pertains to carbon dioxide, because that's what plants crave.
Well, if they wanted net zero, he needs to stop breathing. No more breathing for you. Got to get to net zero. Start with you. Like, he should be the example. Be the example that and lead. Be who that what you want to see in others. Just stop breathing, dude. Just don't breathe anymore. Look at that. You're doing your part. You don't need to fake plant trees in the rainforest somewhere. Is that where they do it? I don't know. Where do they do it?
Wherever they can grow, I guess.
So stupid. But sure, yeah, that's the way. All you just stop breathing, dude. That's it. And all your family, have them not breathe. I mean, you to save the carbon dioxide, right? Maybe they could tax the volcanoes. Sorry, Mr. Vesuvius, but that's a bad no-no. You know, I'm just thinking out loud here, right? I don't know. It could be. But that, I love that he was asked that. That's such a joke. All these... I really wish, I mean, it's, what is it? The temperature, is it 30? I don't think, it's starting to warm up. We're at a toasty 36 degrees right now in Texas. It's so ridiculous. Finally above freezing. I mean, I've gone through almost all my turtlenecks because I'm freezing to death. I can't wear a scarf on air. I'll look like Glenn Beck. So I'm just wearing turtlenecks, trying to do everything I can and just not, I'm running out, guys. Got to do laundry. All right, so we have the John Kerry, that whole hot mess. They've had their Davos forum, and there's been some very interesting... Didn't they do the WEFy stuff, too?
Yeah.
The WEF, so stupid. All of it's so dumb. Now, in the meantime, more information has come out about Secretary Lloyd Austin. It looks like they were really going above and beyond to hide this as much as possible. So check it. This is audio soundbite 19, a 911 call that was placed on January 1st by an aide to Austin, asked for the ambulance to kind of show up low key. Listen to this.
Can I ask, like, can the ambulance not show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to remain a little subtle.
Oh. Mm. They're just being low key about it.
Can you be more subtle with that ambulance?
We just want to, isn't that what they do at the villages? I watched a documentary about that. They don't have, because they don't want to freak all the other people out.
Right.
So they pulled a villages tactic. Can you not have the lights and sirens on? You know, come get him low key. We're going to be low key about this. Is he out of the hospital yet? Is he? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering about that.
It was enough out of an emergency to call an ambulance, but not enough for that ambulance to be quick or have sirens.
We need none of this makes sense. So I mean this is the, you know, we've got all this stuff with the Houthis happening, and here are SecDef. We don't even know everything yet. I tell you what we do know. Actually, the other story that I wanted to hit related to the Bidens. This is amazing to me. I tweeted about this yesterday, and I short-circuited from all the jokes that immediately popped into my head. You know, like when you see something and you just can't make enough jokes about it. It's just too over the top. And such was this particular example. So the, pull this up here. This is wild. The gun, okay, do you remember the gun that was thrown into the trash can? Hunter Biden's gun that he purchased illegally, and he threw it in the trash can. Well, and then they had to have Secret Service recover it, right? And that's the gun that's involved in the when they were going to charge him with lying on his 4473, which is a felony. So I was looking at this. This is so wild. In a new court filing, the DOJ says that they pulled Hunter Biden's gun from evidence in 23, and there was a white substance on the leather gun pouch. The FBI chemist determined that it was cocaine. So they literally found drugs on the pouch where the defendant had kept his gun. That's what they said in the filing. It's Biden's blow boy. So that's, it's true. There's literal actual cocaine on his gun. Was it his cocaine though? I mean, he just leaves cocaine everywhere he goes. Apparently, you know how that one witch on Warner Brothers, the old Ian Freeling drawings, when he'd do the witch and she'd click her wheels. Yeah, she'd kick her heels and hairpins would fall out. That's like him with coke. Like cocaine just like falls out everywhere, follows him everywhere. It's just wild. It's true. It does. Yeah, they literally found it on his brown leather gun pouch. Literally found drugs on the pouch where he kept his gun. Actual cocaine on his pouch, his holster. Oh my gosh, this is the dumbest thing ever. Two tiers of justice, y'all. Two tiers of justice. I mean, it's just asinine because this is the family that endlessly promotes various drug and gun laws. Right. And I just think if you're going to push certain laws, then you better abide by them. And that includes assuming the penalty when you don't. But he had lied and there's further. The evidence gets crazier and crazier. Well, you know, he didn't really lie. OK, you lied. But OK. Yeah. I mean, he was on cocaine. Yeah. I mean, he literally had cocaine all over the gun. What are they going to do? But are they going to go into evidence one day and, you know, they say they got to, we got to write something down about this piece of evidence and some paperwork for the case. And as they walk into the evidence room and they turn on the light, are they going to see Hunter Biden there leaning over, snorting cocaine off of the pouch that the gun was in? Some leftover cocaine snort. I mean, how crazy is this going to get? Is that why he like bust up into the Capitol? Maybe he was, you know, trying to make his way to get to his gun. Although I think it's in Delaware. Are they keeping it in Delaware or is it in D.C.?
Good question.
I mean, he could have been like, I'll just say that I'm here for this stunt. Golly. Just the craziest. We've got Florida man on the way and also coming up, New Hampshire, South Carolina. The latest at the border as well, because now you had Governor Pritzker, who was losing his mind over all of these illegal entrants that were coming into being sent to Illinois. He's so mad about it. Well, now, apparently, it looks like there's some halting of the buses going from Texas to Illinois, but not specifically because Pritzker has been whining. We're going to talk about that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Florida man Hulk Hogan literally rescued a teenage girl trapped in an overturned vehicle after a crash in Florida. He said on X that he used a ballpoint pen to puncture the car's airbag and free the girl after witnessing the accident Sunday night in Tampa. his new wife took to Facebook, praised his quick action. He's 70 years old, man. And he saw it and he said that everybody's fine and amen. Oh, my gosh.
That's impressive, brother.
That's impressive, brother. Reminded me, they science will find they found a skull of some Cro-Magnon dude buried in the ice, and they put skin on it and what it would look like, and I swear to you, it looked just like Hulk Hogan. I was like, what's up, brother? From the Paleolithic era. All right, so, oh my gosh. Moving on here. A Florida man was caught stashing, this is a very interesting thing, NFL cards and deviled eggs in a stolen backpack. He looks like he comes from Napoleon Dynamite, this guy. A Florida man was arrested after he stashed NFL cards and deviled eggs into a backpack he stole from Walmart, and then he left without paying. 41-year-old kept, this guy's 41. I'm sorry. This is the oldest 41-year-old I've ever seen in my life. Guys, he looks legit like he's 60. So they found 5 boxes of NFL cards. And in addition to the deviled eggs, some chicken salad, some banana pudding. Found that too. He exited through the garden center without paying or attempting to pay. He was confronted by law enforcement. And then, of course, guess what? They found drug stuff on him. Meth. So he's in Sumner County Detention Center. He was released after posting $4,000 bond. So he could have technically paid, probably, unless he used a bondsman. He probably could have paid. It's just, why those things? I just don't understand. I'm trying to think here. Oh, no, I so cannot have this headline. Nope. Mm-mm. A Florida man leaves truck in gear, steps out, and gets run over by it. He literally, and it's sad because he killed him. He got ran over and killed by his literal own truck. Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office was called to a home in Lake Worth. A 64-year-old was run over by his own Chevrolet Silverado, and he did not make it due to the injuries. He put the truck in park. He was digging up a stump, and he was standing on the driver's side, and it began to roll, and he was knocked to the ground and run over. That's just, be careful. I always get weird about that. A little OCD kicks in, and I have to double and triple check that things were in park if I'm, you know. Let's see here. This, a Florida man outlaw was arrested for shooting a man in the face with a BB gun at McDonald's. Oh, for the love. So, Hillsborough County, Florida. A Florida man was a non-fatal shooting. It was Monday at a Brandon McDonald's. Monty Outlaw. His name is Monty Outlaw. It's Mr. and Mrs. Outlaw's son. 25. His name is Monty Outlaw. I don't care about anything else in the story.
Pretty destined from birth.
Let's see. His last name is Outlaw. What do you think he's going to be in life? Maya. Monty Outlaw. That is his name. Golly. Anyway, he popped a dude in the face with a BB gun. And they had an argument. He reached into his waistband and pulled out a little baby gun. And that's so dumb. And he's been arrested more than 3 times in 6 months, charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, grand theft, third degree, battery, or second subsequent offense. And so now he's in jail. He's in the Falkenberg Road Jail. Monty Outlaw. I just think Monty, maybe there's a better first name you could have. Your last name is Outlaw. You know, your parents kind of screwed you with that one. Your first name just doesn't go with the last. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
He says there's a lack of urgency in Washington on this issue. Does your administration bear responsibility for that?
It is no secret for anyone that we have a broken immigration system, and it needs to be fixed. And it would be great if we could get some bipartisan consensus to do just that. And I think it's a tragedy that there are certain so-called leaders who are playing politics with this issue. Our first bill... The first bill right after inauguration that President Biden put before Congress was to fix our immigration system. Do you think that they've taken it up? No.
So that's the bill that's in the Senate right now. That's kind of a rehash of the amnesty bill that almost passed in 2016 that the House Freedom Caucus ultimately ended up nixing. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. And that was something that was just said, too, by Raskin in the House Oversight and Accountability Committee hearing. He was saying, oh, they're blocking the border deal. And he's so dumb about it. And he's trying to act like, oh, they're blocking the border. It's the rehash of, again, the 2018 amnesty bill that was partially authored by Ryan that almost passed with the White House's approval at the time. In fact, they had endorsed it and were promoting it. And then it ended up being started falling apart. And then defeated, and it never went anywhere, finally. But it came very close to going somewhere. We almost had 1.8 million people who entered illegally get amnesty. And the bill that's in the Senate right now that McConnell's, I feel like he's sitting back and kind of watching some of the strategy on this because he hasn't moved too much publicly on it. He's sort of letting everyone else kind of hang themselves with it. But the establishment in the Senate has been really pushing this, and who knows? I mean, we'll see where it goes. But this is, again, one of the reasons why people get so dissatisfied with the RNC and the GOP because of this stuff, because of this. I mean, and the way that the Hill, I thought, was dumb. I thought the Hill story isn't exactly accurate. Because they're trying to blame it on Trump and saying, oh, Trump told them that. I mean, this is literally like the exact kind of a bill that he supported in 2018. So I think that they're just trying to, trying to enrage the independents over it. It's just goofy. And so this, Kamala Harris, but we played that audio of her. She's speaking about this. The House is putting pressure on. And this is, they're doing everything that they can to try to emotionally blackmail, for the lack of a better way to put it, Republicans into doing this. And the Republicans aren't fighting it. They're not fighting it. I mean, this gets into why I have such a major problem with that party. I have a major problem with them right now. But I'm telling you, I feel like the Republican Party is being, I think it's being co-opted. Well, it has been. And people are being encouraged to accept big government positions and excuse them as being kind of like America First stuff. And I've said this before, again, and I'll say it again for the drive-bys. I will steamroll over your all grandmothers first to win 2024. But I just want people to be aware, being for amnesty for 1.8 million people and then being for seize the guns and I want a bump stock ban and all this stuff. That's not none of those are constitutional America First positions. None of them are. People just need to realize this. So I don't know. We'll see. But the Democrats have been playing this game. I don't know if they're going to get Republicans to cave on it. But I do know, I wanted to bring up this story. So the buses that have been going from Texas to Illinois, Abbott halted seizing of those buses, according to reporting. And this was after Pritzker was begging to stop. But it's not because of Pritzker. It's a temporary pause because of the weather only. That's it. It's just because of the weather. And then when the ice is, I told you, Texas shuts down if there's like a spot of ice on the ground. Now it's starting to warm up today. So I would imagine that it will, they'll resume pretty quickly. So they said that the buses with illegal aliens that have been going from Chicago or to Chicago from Texas, they haven't gone for the last couple of days because it's been very cold and the weather conditions, the ice on the roads, which is true. And they said that the freezing temperatures, et cetera, you also don't want to break down, too. You don't want to break down on the road as you're going. It's kind of a haul. How long is it to Chicago? It's 11 hours from Dallas to St. Louis. So what, 15?
Then another 4.5 or so from St. Louis to Chicago.
Yeah. And I would imagine you have to stop once, right? Or no?
Oh, yeah. You mean from Dallas to there?
Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. A few times, yeah. Actually, depending on the size of your gas tank.
Yeah. So, there you go. But Pritzker's been begging, please, don't send any more. But it's just the weather right now. He has sent, so far, Texas has sent up over 100,000 illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. That was 30,800 that they sent to Chicago. And yeah, 30,800, that's the total so far. And then now they're going to start sending again as the buses, as the weather's cooperating. And you don't have like the ice storms, etc. So that's going to happen. And what usually people don't mention is that when people come across the border illegally and they're put on these buses, they're asked, where do you want to go? And they say, oh, I want to go to Chicago, or I want to go to New York. That's where I want to go. That's what they say. It's like nobody's making anybody do this stuff. That's where they say they want to go. So another, just the fact that there's that many to even send is wild to me. It's just wild. And still no corrections on this stuff. None. I mean, you didn't even really get any corrections when they were trying to say that people were using horse reins to whip people crossing illegally. This was just over the summer. They've never corrected any of it, ever. None of it. And now the same thing with this whole situation with the kids that had drowned at the border. And they were trying to blame it on our Texas Guard, which is asinine. This reminds me of the, do you remember that it was a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer, a guy with Getty? And he took pictures of, like, there was this one girl, 2-year-old girl crying at the U.S.-Mexico border. And they were trying to act like, oh, it's because she was separated from her mother. And that's why. No, she was just having she was tired and hungry and having a tantrum because her irresponsible mother dragged her hundreds of miles from home in the middle of the night and illegally crossed into a country. So asinine. But this is the stuff that the narratives that they're trying to promote. And then they went after our guard. Oh, they're blocking the guard they're blocking the border patrol from saving these people. And there's only been like two corrections. Washington Post never corrected anything. Henry Cuellar never corrected it. Axios never corrected it. And the true story is that Mexican authorities had an issue on the Mexico side of the Rio, and Border Patrol wasn't even made aware of it until after not only people had drowned, but they were apparently removed from the river. And then they tried to blame it on the Texas Guard for not allowing them through Shelby Park, because they wouldn't be able to access Shelby Park because the feds were told to assist the cartels in letting people in. And so the Texas governor and the guard are like, no, we're not doing that. So they closed down that passing point, that crossing point, to stop them. They're helping the cartels make millions of dollars a week. Our own federal government, by telling the Border Patrol to assist the cartels in getting people in. Lift up that razor wire. Lift it all up. Help them in. Asinine. But honestly, that's the language. That's the language that Republicans need to use in talking about this. The video and the photographs that have been taken showing that happening, how can you not be enraged? And Henry Cuellar owes a lot of people an apology. Shame on him. He owes a lot of people an apology for running with this false narrative and impugning the characters and endangering the lives of Texas Guard members by calling them murderers and saying that they purposefully blocked anybody from helping people drowning in a river when they didn't even had no clue. And it happened on the Mexico side. Mexican authorities already dealt with it, even confirmed that. And then the feds had to come quietly back later and say, OK, yeah, we were wrong. And here's the correct version of events. You absolute rat bastards. Shame on you, Henry Cuellar. Absolute shame. Just disgusting. These people won't. There's no low to which these people will not sink. No low. All right. A few other things that we need to make sure that we're touching on today, because we got New Hampshire coming up. I know, but we got New Hampshire coming up, though. That's the thing that's going to be happening next week. And like I said, I do believe that Nikki Haley will probably, I think she's slated. Well, she's very competitive with Trump in New Hampshire, and she just got all of the Texas establishment to get behind her. That's a Texas scorecard. She just got the whole establishment to get behind her. Now, whether or not that helps her out in South Carolina. It's weird because in South Carolina, she's doing worse than she is in New Hampshire. It's so weird. She's doing worse there than she is in New Hampshire. And in the meantime, this Gallup survey. Independent party ID is tied for high. Democrat ID is at a new low. The last time it was this high was in 2014. Record low of voters, 20 are identifying as Democrats, tying Republicans, but 43% are identifying as independents. Republicans maintain a slight edge in leaned party identification. A lot of that's from Florida because they register tons of Republicans in Florida. They're not becoming Republican. People should be asking themselves why. The Republican Party should be asking themselves why. They should be demanding and maybe reevaluating how they're doing things. They're flubbing this. They're flubbing all of this. We're going to have I was looking at some of the voting for these special elections in some of these states. I mean, the mail-in ballots for Democrat side just there, and Republicans not doing a damn thing about it. Nothing. Hell, in Georgia, they codified it. All the changes that they made due to lockdown, they made that part of their new voting law. Texas didn't, at least, but they did in Georgia. That's something else. I mean, you have probably one of the easiest elections ever that you could win. And we are doing everything possible to make sure we stumble through it. Everything possible. We got headlines on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this lady who in Australia got the World's Ugliest Lawn Award, it just looks like a pasture. I don't understand this. Like, do they view things like this differently than we do? It just looks literally like a... Yeah, they said her bandicoot-ravaged yard was dubbed the worst ever in the World's Ugliest Lawn Competition. Oh, I've seen uglier. And they said that they're... It's just a pasture. It's some Swedish town that decided that they think that they know what pretty lawns look like. Look, she's like in a bandicoot is actually a small omnivorous marsupial, in case anybody wanted to know, because there was Crash Bandicoot, which is a game.
Yeah, my favorite game on PlayStation 1.
I'm sorry, what?
My favorite game on PlayStation 1.
I mean, we could be playing Warhammer, Darktide, but you know, you're over there with the Crash Bandicoot. It's okay. They said the bandicoots love digging, so apparently she's got bandicoots in the yard. Oh, there are tons of holes in it. But it legit looks like a pasture. It doesn't look like her front yard. I don't know. I just think that's disingenuous. You know, I've seen some bad front yards before. China's stock market is in a free fall. See, this is why they can't really carry out the world domination just yet. They've had some serious rocky couple of years for the economy in China, and now their stock market's in free fall. Authorities are asking institutional investors not to sell stocks in an attempt to stabilize share prices as foreigners are pulling out. Their equities dipped after the country's central bank decided to keep its medium-term policy rate unchanged at 2.5%, and their failing to cut interest is widely expected by investors. Yeah, they're in a bad way over there, and they're not making, as you could anticipate or expect, no smart decisions to remedy it. A naked man was charged with burglary. He says he was going to kill you to his victim after he broke through the window. This is a Pottsville. They say that this dude is facing charges. 27-year-old Michael Yakinchik, who is naked, jumped through his neighbor's window, shattered the glass pane to get inside. And a female resident told police that he was a neighbor. And he wouldn't listen to police's commands. They tried to take him into custody. He continuously resisted. I just feel like it's bad for you to grapple. That's the word that they use here. Grapple with police when you're naked. Right? Because they've got like tasers and hurdy stuff. And you're, you know, all out there in the wind. I'm just saying. He's out on $15,000 bail, by the way. He's out of prison on $15,000 bail. This is why everything's horrible. This is why things are just ridiculous. This is because this kind of stuff. A flight attendant filmed a purple UFO outside the window and is now convinced that aliens exist. Or was it a spot on the window? I don't know. She says it was a UFO. She's like absolutely certain of it. The video is interesting, but I don't know. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Iowa, you can actually show up as a Democrat on the day of the caucus, change your registration, and then participate in the Republican caucus. In New Hampshire, you can't do that. If you're a declared Democrat, then you can't vote in the primary. So she was relying on her support for a lot of these Democrats changing their registration on the day of the caucus. And here's the thing. In Florida, I want a lot more Democrats than previous governors have been able to do. I think it's great in a general election to build a big tent, but to win a Republican primary, you can't rely on Democrats coming in and changing their registration. You got to be able to win core Republicans.
What's wild, excuse me, and this is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis talking about Nikki Haley, bottom of this third hour. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. What's wild about this is Nikki Haley, I said this yesterday, has the exact opposite problem of Trump. Trump has the exact opposite problem of Haley, and that she struggles with hardcore conservative Republican voters. And I would say definitely the conservative ones, not necessarily Republican ones. There's a difference. Whereas Trump struggles with some of the more hardcore conservatives and the independents, like the conservatives who don't think he's conservative enough, or the independents who are like, you know, those folks. And I have the story for you of how it's kind of wild. You have so many people who are now leaving the Democrat Party, but they're not registering as Republicans. They're staying independent. Nobody in the RNC is going, how can we fix this? Or how can we remedy this problem, this situation? They're not asking that at all. So they each have this issue that the other one has the opposite problem. It's just bizarre to me. It's very weird. But she does struggle with these conservative voters, and it's difficult for her to build at the base level, and it's difficult to Trump to build beyond the base level. And DeSantis is right when he talks about how he won some Democrat counties in Florida. I mean, there were a couple of counties that he won in Florida that flipped, that were historically Democrat. And by the way, I think this gets into tone and messaging, because that HD 35 in Florida, I was like, I was doing the math on this. And I went back and I looked at the last statewide election that they had. And the district HD 35 encompasses two different counties. And these are counties that, in fact, one of them was a county that, one of those historic Democrat counties that DeSantis flipped. And these were Democrats in these counties voting for DeSantis. And there was a candidate, Erica Booth, who was running in the special election, HD 35. And she hated DeSantis and was very divisive with her tone. And I think you can run and you can like endorse Trump, but without being like so caustic. And she apparently did not understand that strategy, and it cost her, because it is absolutely stupid that literally not even a full year after a historic statewide election in which your district flips, essentially, you lose it because you ran an incompetent campaign. That's not a reflection on DeSantis. That was a reflection on Booth and her stupid strategy. What a moronic loss. And we're going to see that more and more. We saw it in Virginia. We saw it in Wisconsin. And there's now another district up in New York, special election. We're seeing that in. Saw it in Georgia, special elections, how we lost the Senate. Just saying. So I do think that Haley will use that kind of stuff to her advantage. And then it gives her this false sense of being the not Trump candidate when she's Not really. She's literally pulling from like the left. That's the thing. She's pulling from the left. It'll be interesting to see New Hampshire. I will be fascinated to see the actual results compared to the polling in New Hampshire. Iowa, I was less because I just, you know, I thought it's a reliable red state. It's, you know, we're not going to, I don't really expect to see a lot of differences, but I'm very interested to see this with New Hampshire. Excuse me. And we will, you know, South Carolina, she's actually performing better in South Carolina than she is, or actually in New Hampshire than she is in South Carolina. Very interesting. So there's a lot of odd math to look at here. The Iowa thing, too, I keep seeing people say, get out, you know, these Haley and DeSantis need to get out of the primary. Well, that's like telling Trump to get out of the primary after Iowa in 2016. It's one of the dumbest damn things I've ever heard. And anyone telling you that is not a serious person. Yeah, all of them. Here's why. You had 115,000 people that voted and only 20% of those. I mean, that's 20% of the registered Republican voters that were caucusing. And of that, you had half of the 20% of registered voters are going to decide the entire future of the country. I mean, no offense, Iowans, love you, but no, that's not how this works. And to only get half of the delegates? Yeah. Doesn't sound as inevitable. And I think that it is a delegate race and it's about who can survive the longest. We don't have President Cruz because of that. Trump didn't win Iowa in 2016. Would you have told Trump to get out after losing to Cruz in 2016? We'd have President Cruz. That's like that. Then you supported getting Trump out right after Iowa in 2016. Do you see how dumb that is? I didn't even support that. I thought it was stupid. There were some people who actually said it at the time, and I remember distinctly going, that is moronic, because one of them emailed me and we argued. They're a columnist, but they were wrong. It's dumb. I just think that the people saying that, and it's early on in this, but I noticed the loudest are the people who are, there are a lot of grifters in this. I cannot stand conservative media anymore. I got to be honest with you. I don't think they're all conservative. I think it's just a lot of it's just grifterism. It really is. It's so the same people saying the same red meat platitudes over and over again. Let's have some like genuine analysis. I don't want to just, it's way too early. And like I said, I will steamroll you, your grandmother, and your damn dog to win in 2024 to pay homage to Eastwood. But this has to play out. And it's a delegate race. And it's about you. Who knows? Joe Biden was fourth in 2016 or 2020, and he just was about to lose heading into South Carolina until Clyburn saved him. So again, the people who are saying this are not serious people. That is not at all. I saw this too. Marco Rubio is saying now that he didn't endorse DeSantis. He says, quote, I haven't talked to the governor in a while. I endorsed the candidate in the race who asked for my endorsement. And he said that DeSantis never asked for his endorsement. Well, okay. Goodness. All right. So, what are you doing over there? What do you got that look for? What?
So it just takes like someone just asked me to endorse them and then I'm gonna? I think it takes a little bit more than that. I think if I'm in the business or am thinking of endorsing someone, I am the one to make that decision, not whether someone asks me or not.
There have been some hard sells. I know a number of congresspeople who have confided in me that they had the pressure turned up on them to do so. And I know a number of congresspeople who were kind of forced into it. They had fundraising threatened and all. These are facts. And some of them were in purple districts that they're desperately trying to hang on. And we need to maintain a Republican majority in the House, which we are on track to lose. But we need to do the best we can to maintain it. And so I don't know. I'm like, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure that there are people they ask and they, you know, they go back and forth and they try to arrange endorsements and all of that. That's not beyond the, you know, that's a real thing. So I don't know. Now, the debate, there was going to be a debate, and Lorraine notes this, AP, we talked about this yesterday. There was going to be a debate, but the Republicans yesterday canceled it because neither Trump nor Biden is going to, we're going to, no offense to the good boomers out there, but we're going to have two bad, we're going to have two old boomers out there who are going to be campaigning from the basement and they're not going to have a debate. Is that what we're looking at?
So
I'm going to jump off my flipping roof.
So far, what
we got. Jiminy Christmas. One of my friends who is, I think, anti-boomer. I am not. I like you guys. My parents are boomers. But he was like, they're going to drag us behind, they're going to drag us on the asphalt behind the car all the way to hell, aren't they? Is what he said. I was like, golly, you are a child of boomers. What is the matter with you? But for real, though, this the political stuff is ridiculous with us. Come on. I don't know. I'm seeing all this video coming out from the WEF stuff, too, by the way. Can I just ask a question totally unrelated to what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is that a freak show?
What, the World Economic Forum?
Yeah, is it just like, hey, let's get all the freaks together and do freak stuff?
It's kind of like that. I think I know what video you're referring to.
Well, the only sane one that I saw so far is the dude who is the, isn't he like the Malai? Javier Malai.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like
Argentinian.
Yeah. Like one of the, he's got the craziest hair, but he's the sanest.
Right.
And he's basically saying you guys are clowns. And then I saw, what in the Harry Potter hell is this video? So hold up. This is the stuff that happens. So this is, I don't even know what I'm looking at. Can we put it up on the thing? It is, I don't know what it is. It's a video of, I don't know, a hippie in a...
Is it though?
Hat with a...
Is it a hippie?
I thought that was a face mask. It's not a face mask.
No, it's paint, face paint.
I'm going to play this off my computer then.
So it looks as though it's actually... No, Juan's got it.
Okay, cool.
But it looks like Native American, isn't it? A little bit to me, it looks like Native American.
I'm waiting for them to... And who's the lady in the black robes?
Oh, I don't even know about that. I just associate that with evil. But anyway, Juan's playing it now.
No cambahu, Anuri. No cambai, no cambaca.
Please tell me she's cursing them.
Anuri, no yuyuwa.
Is she cursing them? Let's hope. Like she's on a stage with all these suits. Please tell me you're cursing them. Blow the curse to the people. Blow the curse at the people. Blow it to them. Blow them the curse. Blow the curse at them. Bo, they're sitting to your left. There you go. Get them. Curse them. Curse you. Gonna curse. Curse you. Look, she's blowing right at him. Curse you. Come to this lady. Come here, lady. I'm going to curse you. Oh, she's got a Statue of Liberty headdress on. Curse you. Oh, I mean, you're so cursed. Curse you too. She's grabbing people's heads and spitting on their heads. The hell is that? What is this? What did we just watch? This is the World Economic Forum. This is the world of eccentric freaks. That's what this thing is.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. What is I don't know what I just watched. Do you get to, is it an exorcism? Is it like, what is it? Why is she spitting on people?
I don't know. It looked like she was maybe blessing.
What does that have to do with economics? No, that was a curse, dude.
Was it a curse?
I don't know. I'm just assuming it was.
I don't know.
And who was the lady in the black robe that was standing by her? This is the World Economic Forum. What the hell are they doing there? I'm telling you what, that's weird. And they wonder why people make fun of them. They make it too easy.
Right.
You freaks at the WEF make it too easy for us to make fun of you. We're the normies. You're the freaks. Actually, it's probably the only time a normie is used in a non-pejorative manner. Are they possessed now after that? You know who I just realized it probably is? It's probably Elizabeth Warren. And then they all got a free book, a free copy of Pow Wow Chow for attending. That's like the door prize for going to WEF.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Do not surrender to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story. And rest assured that as from today, Argentina is your staunch, unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long live freedom. Damn it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That's the Argentinian president who actually like says he's going to drain something. He doesn't. Javier Milei. And those sideburns, man. The sideburns. If I were his people, I would literally just sell like sideburns like on your site, campaign site. You know how much money that'd raise?
This Halloween, it would go crazy.
Dude, for real. I'm just saying. It'd be pretty crazy. All right, so that he's calling out the freaks at WEF. The World Economic Forum. I read somewhere that Blinken got stuck there because he had a problem with his jet. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I also, one of the people in our the YouTube discussion said that we went from wearing a mask to spitting in everybody's face at WEF. It's true. True story. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse, Substack, all kinds of good stuff up there as well. In the meantime, today in Stupidity Camp.
All right. Looks like the Biden administration has redesignated the Houthis as a, you know, a terrorist organization. We were asked about this. Listen to what Kirby says.
Was it a mistake to take them off of the terrorist list back in 2021? Just like consideration over these years?
No.
So them taking the Houthis off of the terror watch list back in 2021 was a good idea, I guess, according to John Kirby.
They never actually explained very well why they removed them from the list. You know, they never actually went into that. But now we're just, yeah, well, they're back on because. Yeah, okay, all right. Folks, that does it for us tonight. I'm scheduled to be on with Jesse Waters this evening. At the top of his show. So make sure you tune in. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.